Aleluya. 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 You know, when you're asked to pray for one another, that is a prayer you must take very seriously. You must never be casual about it. Why? Because a big reason, a major part of the reason why you have the person beside you is for your safety and your sanity. You understand what that means? Your safety and your sanity. It means that one major reason why you will not be lost in ministry, that we were looking for you and cannot find you in 5 years' time, is because of the person that is beside you. One major reason why when pressures come and they want to weigh you down, why you'll be able to bounce back, is because of the person beside you. It's because we don't understand our role most times, or the role we play with each other, or with the role we have in each other's lives. That is why it is easy for you to just disdain, okay? Is it not this person? Someone will be encouraging you about, see, try, come to church, come for meetings, do your PR book, let's go for evangelism together. And at the back of your brain, that person is disturbing you. You, a believer. Not an unbeliever. Do you understand? Not the man you are trying to get saved. Amongst us. Something is clicking there. You are disturbing me. Say you are nowhere. He's doing his role. Playing that role in your life. That's their role. And I want someone else to do it for me too. See that 1 week goes by, I've not prayed personally, just when we gather. It is good. Someone tells me, hey, madam, you're not praying. And it will be foolish of me, because I keep learning this, be foolish of me to be wishing that person was not in my life for that purpose. Do you understand? You know, softly, you wish that I didn't have this person around me. We've been called into a family. We have a song like that. We're going to sing it together. We've been called into a family with a shared faith and what? Identity. God gave us what? His word. Leaders and who? Each other. For what? Our safety and our sanity. So why do I want to ensure you are well? See, I need you. Do you understand? I need you. Because things will not always be good. I don't know when I will get there. Only good things happen to me, right? And you think that means all of life situation. You always just have money. Everything will be fine, my dear. That's not what we are promised in our faith. So whether in good or bad times, in good times what happens? We run. When everything is pleasant, we run. In bad times what happens? Hope you know standing firm does not mean you are no longer moving. Hope you know that. It means that you are refusing to ensure that what is going around doesn't pull you back. It doesn't stifle you, no. You just keep forging. Forging means you are putting one leg in front of the other. Forging can mean you are going slowly and steadily. It can also mean a sharp burst of speed. So good times, bad times. Why? Why? What can guarantee? I know I'm doing this because I have a master to give account to, but what has he given me to ensure I do this? You. Leaders. You have fathers, mothers. Ha! My dear. You need them. You need them. You see their call. Like, I know what they want to ask me for. And you ignore it. Then you call back. You reply a message the next evening. Sorry, ma, I was busy. So you don't want to be seen. Do you understand? Because they are giving to you for what? Your sanity. So when you do all that, you are saying, I don't want to be sane. I want to just be mad. Just leave me. So we are going to hold us. Media, please, can you find this song for us? A master to give account to. I don't know how you saved it. We are going to sing it for ourselves today. Remind ourselves again why we have each other. Because we have been called into a family with a shared faith and identity. Hey, I told you that the right day we sang one destiny and one purpose. That bear with us. If you see somebody always telling you, hey, 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 do this, do this. It's because your destiny is what? My destiny. You're not doing it well, it affects me. It affects me. This is why we have each other. This is why we have each other. It's why the saints must occupy a large portion of your prayer time. Trust me, if you actually put every saint in mind, you will know that the time for prayer is not enough. I keep realizing that daily. The reason why you think that you have enough time to do a lot of things is because you have not attempted to pray for every saint in your local assembly. See, try it. Try it for a month. Say, this month, I want to pray for every member of the defined assembly. Don't just start with Kuba. I want to devote, if you even say one day per day, okay, let me not say one day per person. Say, I want to devote an hour for each person and write a roster. You will see how much time you have. See how much time you have. So, we're going to sing together. We have been called into a family with a shared faith and identity. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay, I don't know what is happening with them, but those of us who know the song, let's go.
We've been
with a shared faith and identity.
Lead us and each other for our safety and our sanity. This is the faith we share each and defend. In season and out of season, in good times we run, in bad times we stand firm. Cause we have a master to work out.
Again, we've been called into a family.
We've been called into a family.
With a shared faith. Lead us and each other for our safety and our sanity.
This is the faith we cherish and defend. In season and out of season, in good times we run, in bad times we stand firm. Cause we have a master to account to.
Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, remind them, in good times, what do? We run. Remind him, your neighbor, in good times, we run. Tell your neighbor, in good times, we run. So when it's good, I expect to see you running. When you are well, I expect to see you trying to cover as much ground as you can. If it ever happens that you say you are broke or you don't have money to eat, or for one reason or the other, you are not feeling fine, I still don't expect to see. That's why we have a rule here, right? You will still write, do what you should do. Don't expect to see that that crashes you fully. In bad times, we go slowly and steadily, but surely. But surely. And when things are good, when pressures from home are not mounting, hey, that's not the time to now just be doing, life is easy, things are beautiful. You now be sleeping more and alone. There's so much ground to cover. In good times, what do we do? In good times, what do?
We run.
So there's no time to be lax here. In good times, bad times. Good times, bad times. And what will ensure I'm doing that? The person beside you. So take a good look at that person. Take a good look at your neighbor. This is your safety. Brother Samuel, you don't have a neighbor. Look at your neighbor. This is your safety. This is your sanity. In your lower, you don't have a neighbor. That's your safety, oh. That's your sanity. Honestly, tell the person, you will never disturb me. Tell them. I will never see your pressure on me to be better as disturbance. Bumi, are you hearing? You will never see that disturbance. Because if you do, you are disdaining God who gave you that person for your safety and sanity. Let's sing one more time and then we'll start teaching. Into a family with a shared faith and identity. God gave us His word, leaders and each other for our safety and our sanity. Oh, this is the faith. In season and out of season. In good times we run. In bad times we stand firm. Because we have a master to our counsel. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are the times good right now? Are the times good right now? Are the times good right now? Are you running or you are standing firm? You are running. You are running. Whether you are running, whatever stage you are, don't worry. Your neighbor is running, even if you are standing firm. And we will ensure that you don't stay back. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for fellowship. Thank you, Father, for unity. Thank you, Father, for love. Thank you for oneness. Thank you for each one you have given to us here. Each one. We don't disdain, we don't despise. Each one. We don't disdain, we don't despise. Each one, each one, each one. Both from the leaders, we don't disdain their weaknesses. And even those who are following, they don't disdain the persistence of their leaders. No one gets weary, no one gets tired. Because collectively, we have a master to give account. We know what we should do. Good times, bad times, no excuse. No excuse. No excuse. Thank you, because this we do. This we do. We maximize what you have given us. We maximize the word. We maximize the spirit. We maximize our leaders. And we maximize ourselves. We use ourselves for the reason why you gave us each other. We use ourselves for that purpose. Not to be buying, just, no, no, not to focus on what we shouldn't focus on. But we use ourselves primarily for the reason why you gave us each other. And our lives are made better daily, progressively, consistently. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Have your seat, please. In good times, we run. In bad times, we stand firm. We make our way slowly and steadily. Slowly and steadily. No excuse. No excuse is ever big enough not to do what you should do. And the worst is now when you don't even have an excuse. You just determine in your mind, I don't want to do it. You know, that is... What? I'm trying to look for... I'm trying to look... You know, there's a reason why you say, okay, I didn't do this because you start giving your excuse. This is this. Even that one, you are not permitted to give it. Do you understand? Now when you don't even have an excuse, you just say... I don't want to. Of how much sorrow punishment should that person be deemed worthy of? Hey, you're a believer. You're not an atheist. We don't respond or act based on our feelings. Because based on feelings alone, trust me, many of us will not be where we are or do what we should do. Because we have a master to give account. All right, are we ready? We are gradually concluding a path of glory. The path of glory, my part. Like I told you when we started, and I've been trying to remind you, this is a sermon Pastor took in Kaduna in the ministers' conference when God calls, and he asks that I teach it here for comprehension purpose. That is why we have been going slowly and adding the details we are adding. So far we have come a long way, of course. I trust that all of you have been following part time, besides those who traveled for reasons that are not spiritual and are now back. But Paul said you will have troubles in this life, but what? I spare you. Is that, you know what Paul said? He said it's good for a man not to marry, for the person who marries have extra issues in life. He said, but what? I spare you. So in the words of Paul, I spare you. But not spare you from ministry, because by this month end, when we are doing notes, accounting, and PRO, everything must, what must be done must what? Be done. He who has an ear, let him hear what I am saying to the church. Amen. All right, so yesterday or on Sunday, we started talking about the Ten Commandments. And we have seen that as spiritual people, we always look beyond the physical to the intention of things. A fool is the one who doesn't understand the intention of things. We have settled all that. And we said, since Moses is a man of faith, you see it in Hebrews 3, you see it in Hebrews 11, Moses was called a man of faith. John 5, Jesus said, Moses wrote concerning me. So, because of that, we know definitely that Moses could not have just been saying, thou shalt not kill, and all that it meant was, thou shalt not kill. There has to be much more than that. So, we have been examining to see the actual spiritual reality of what Moses used the Ten Commandments to communicate. And the first one, we said, thou shalt have no other God beside me, or thou shalt not... thou shalt have no other God beside me, should not... What does that mean? Wait, look at me, everybody. Look at me. Just look at me. Thank you. Look at me. Raise up your eyes from your books. Between Sunday and today, if you have gone through your notes, let me see your hand. Sunday and today, if you have gone through your notes, let me see your hand. I'm counting four hands. Everybody, be on your feet. Be on your feet. Thank you, thank you, thank you. On your feet. On your feet. I was not in church on Sunday. Sit down. Okay, Maraba. I don't know, Charity, I don't know your own reason. You are not permitted to sit down. You have not... Okay, sit down, sit down. Moya, sit down. Yes, she hopes she's sitting down. Yeah, okay, now the rest of you. Oh, it's possible she went to church on Sunday. You don't go to church on Sunday? Okay, your leader says you stand up. So please stand up. Thank you. So, now, don't look at your book. I know you too. You didn't go over your note. A little. Not completely. All of you here, nobody went over their note. You did. Not completely. So I will of it to an extent. Okay. Except you went through it completely. Sit down. Now, the rest of you, if you went through your notes completely, sit down. No, whether you remember or not, just sit down. If you went through your notes after service, you went through your notes, what was taught, sit down. After, yes, between Sunday and today, if you have gone through what was taught, between Sunday and... At least Sunday. I'm not trying to now say from beginning. Though that one, between Sunday at least, what we taught last, if you have revised it between Sunday and today, sit down. You know, you sitting down, I'm watching you with this eye. You know, you are just sitting down like this. Emoji, you went through the two. Okay. If you went through the two sermons we taught on Sunday, sit down. The rest of you, you did not go through the sermon. What was your problem? Was there church on Monday? Was there church on Monday? Was there church on Tuesday? Even today, you did not even still give yourself small brain and say, okay, there is now church. Revive. So, what are you expecting me to tell you right now? Thou good and faithful servant? Brethren, always ensure that as a series, doesn't, trust me, it won't take you over 30 minutes to do it. It will not. You know, when I read some person's note, it's obvious that they've never read this book since they wrote it. Because sometimes when you read your notes, you will see some grammatical errors. Like when you just keep notes. You know what I'm saying? What we are saying is that the believer is an atheist. Ah. You know, if you have read that note since it was written, you should have known that you omitted what? Not. So what would you have done? The believer is not. Have you read something? I think I'm talking about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Men and brethren, we have not so learned Christ. The believer, the disciple, is a fast learner. This is not the attitude of a fast learner. All right, sit down. And don't do it again. a divine assembly. Please, we have a culture. More things are coming, but to ensure that you don't lose what has happened, daily, keep it in mind. Otherwise, when it now comes to review, you will not be acting as if the thing was never taught. You see, you are reading your note for review. You are not like, ah, the pastor said this thing. Please. Please. Okay, so, thou shalt have no other God besides me. What does it mean? I'm not hearing shrink, shrink, shrink. I'm hearing shrink, shrink, shrink. Please, speak boldly. Did I punish anyone now? So speak boldly. What is the matter? Number one, thou shalt have no other God besides me means what? You don't know that church is a school. Many of you don't know that church is a school. It's a school, oh. And thou shalt have what? Okay, so that describes faith in God. Salvation is in Christ alone. You shall have no other God besides me. Nothing can take the place of God in your mind and the rest. Okay, number two, thou shalt have no graven image or bow thyself to any of such. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Chumoke, check, check, check. Apostle, what does it mean? You should not expect another Christ. So when I was asking her, you were saying it in your mind, I did not hear you and I was standing beside you. Jesus. So, number two, thou shalt have, don't make any graven image means, how do you expect to see this writing? Emoji. I'm coming. Okay. So it was only one page I'm seeing for part nine. Alright, so the third one. What was the third commandment? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. You know when you were in primary school, you could recite the Ten Commandments. So now I'm asking you, you are now doing like too much epistle, I filled your head. The third commandment is what? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. And it means what? Don't take what Christ has done as nothing. Don't despise what God has done or what Christ has done. What scripture? Give me two scriptures that used to explain that. Without looking at your Bible. Romans 2:4 and Hebrews what? I'm hearing Hebrews 4. Fear God. Hebrews 2. Alright. Then of course you see it again in Hebrews 10. I didn't use that. Fourth. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what's the explanation of that? Okay, so Sabbath is not a day. Sabbath refers to what? One word. Sabbath is not a day. Sabbath refers to what? It refers to what? There's a particular word I give you. Salvation. You say you're doing show me. Boldness. We always say this song. You don't want to grow old. Okay, then we said all of that communicates faith in Christ. Then we started looking at the B part and we're able to finish one. And what is that? Thou shalt not steal. So what does thou shalt not steal mean? What is it communicating to you? At least when I in church, a believer will just say, you should honor. Yeah, you are far from faith. Okay, so, thou shalt not steal means what? Exactly. Thou shalt not borrow what is not yours. Your identity as a believer is righteousness. When you now act actions that are not yours, anger, for example, is not in you. There is no place for anger. There is no place for lasciviousness. There is no place for lewdness. There is no place for looseness, both in thoughts, conduct, everything. Those things are not yours. So when we see a believer acting like that, what has he done? He has stolen. So tell your neighbor, say, stop stealing. When I say tell your neighbor, I mean tell your neighbor. Stop stealing. So, if you see somebody, you are together, and the person is saying things that I shouldn't say, just having the same wrong focus, getting upset, charging people, stop stealing. Do you understand? And you say she got a sticky old lay on the person's head. Just remind the person, hey, stop stealing. This is not yours. Don't forget, Bible and its interpretation. Those of you doing exam on it, amen? Yeah. Amen. So, God's word, the end result of it is your conduct. How we know you have understood Bible is when we see the application in your conduct. Not that you are just doing la cram la poor for me. Even if you score 100 in your exams and I don't see this reflection in your conduct, I will hack you. You know. So, the reason why we are going over this gently is so you will understand enough to make it a part of you and then it reflects in your actions. So we are going to continue this evening. We are going to look at thou shalt not covet. It's not as if we are trying to do one by one explanation of what the Ten Commandments means. We are just giving you an explanation of certain portions so you can have a better comprehension of its spiritual significance. So, thou shalt not covet. What is he talking about? Coveting does not mean you have actually taken something yet. Coveting doesn't mean you have actually taken something. But that longing and wishing it was yours, that already is an error. When you are longing, wishing, I wish this was mine. I wish this was mine. That is an error. Why is it an error? What do you use in desiring and longing for something? What part of you? Your mind, your heart. Now, let's see why this is an error. Are you ready? Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Open your Bibles. Matthew 22, 35. 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, let's read that together, verse 37. Let's read that together. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He now says this is the first and great commandment. So this is what must have happened to you at the point of faith in God. You know this describes faith in God, right? The A part. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind and all your soul. So at faith in Christ or at the point of faith in God, all your heart, soul, mind should have been devoted to God. It's expected. And all, yeah, means all actually. You know, in some series, we have looked at some words translated as all to mean past, right? That does not necessarily mean an all-inclusive word that shows all. Remember when we have done all those studies and we say past me can mean one of the old, but this actually means all. So there's no contextual meaning here. The Greek word there is holos. H-O-L-O-S. H-O-L-O-S. And it means all. It means whole. Completely. And it's a primary word, so cannot try and look for this more and more. Let me just give you two places it was used so you can better understand it. It was used in several places talking about whole God. Let's just read two places. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 33. Matthew 13, 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So, if you apply leaven to a bread, can you say there is a part of it that the leaven did not affect? Do you understand? So it is the whole. So it's referring to whole. That's the same word there. Holos. Let's see 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 17. Please, if you don't understand the first one, you will understand the second usage. 1 Corinthians 12, 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So can you say Paul was not meaning whole body there? Can you say that? So whole there means what? Whole, everything. So that's the same word, holos. So when you say you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, how many parts of it? All. Very good. Okay, back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. So here, where did we read again? Matthew 22, verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So Jesus was specifically talking about all of man's spirit, all of man's soul. Remember what we said, that is God's PPA. The heart of man is God's PPA. The heart of man is God's PPA. So that's clear there. And heart sometimes depicts both your spirit and your mind. So that is God's PPA. And Jesus said it is everything. 38 now says, this is the first and great commandment. First there meaning foremost, beginning, first in rank. This has precedence. First. Remember how we did the analysis the last time? Faith and love. Faith comes first. So Jesus said in faith, after describing faith in God, he said that is first. That is foremost. Then great now means that it is to be esteemed highly for its excellence. The first and great. You must always take this one first, never second. And it's the great. Meaning it is most excellent. Esteem it highly. So Jesus was telling us that it must be clear where God stands with you. It must be very clear. God's standing in your life. Must be very clear. If other things still come before, then you have not seen faith in God as the first and greatest. If you can still put other things, whether before or alongside, then you have not seen this as first and greatest. Don't forget, it is not a subject of debate. Forget about that day when I was asking you. You actually don't have a choice. So hope you know. You don't have a choice. I was simply asking you to get your mind to agree. I was taking you slowly on the journey of faith. But you don't have a choice. You don't. Not to start saying, not so person to say, Lord, what is the balance? Let us try and balance it. What do you mean by first? You know, first. It's not a matter of balance. It's either you're obedient or you're rebellious. There's no middle ground on this one. You're either obedient or rebellious. Choose your part. There's no balance. There's no... everybody now knows how it applies to them physically or personally. Hey, God's stand in your life must be clear. Be clear. So, why is coveting now bad? Coveting will be, you are using this heart, this mind, that ought to be holy gods to start wishing desperately for things that are not yours. Why should the believer not covet? Because we have established that all of your heart and your mind, your desires belongs to God. First and foremost. Great. You are now using that heart that belongs to God to start wishing desperately for things that are not yours. And wishing for things that are outside God. That is why the believer must not covet. Hey, your heart is not yours. It is God's. Let's see Mark 7. Mark 7, to show you that the desires and the coveting actually comes from your heart. It's not another part of you are using. It's that heart that should be God's. Mark 7, 21. Mark 7, 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So, what is the source of covetousness? According to this place, your heart. And who has your heart? God's. Your heart is God's own. So you don't have the luxury to use your heart to wish for something that was not yours. That's what coveting means. You are envying what another person has. You know the church means ecclesia, right? And literally means the called out ones. Called out from what? Called out from where? If you are told that the church or saints are called out, it means, as we have said countless times, that not everything is yours. Because not everything belongs to God. So you are called out from man's part to God's part. You are called out to be on God's side. You are on the Lord's side. The Lord is on your side. So stop longing. Stop longing. Stop the wishing. Stop eyeing. There's one deep desire there, just wishing for the things that are not found in God. And it's just, you know, coveting, a deep longing and desire. You know, if you are repeatedly found saying or talking about the things that ministry has made you let go, if you are repeatedly found saying it, you know you are still coveting, right? Do you know that? It means you are still longing for it. If I'm not saying you say it once, you are repeatedly, every time, if not for ministry, we are for that day. Today, the same thing. Tomorrow, see my friends now, they are going for this thing. I can't go, if not for ministry. Next tomorrow, if not for ministry. Next week, if not for ministry, anyway, my life would have been. Every single time. You are still longing and your throat is still, where is it not in your, is that no longer truth? Your mind is still there. You are still wishing for what is no longer yours. See my friend, see where I don't reach. Let me understand that thing to get down. If not for ministry. Hey. Brethren, repent. You are on a path you should be focused on. Stop the coveting. Let go. We are not telling you to let go into emptiness. No, let go because you have things that are yours. You actually do. Let's see Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 5. Let your conversation... Are you there? Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as what? As you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, according to this verse, what do you have? What do you have? The permanent indwelling of God. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what is Paul's admonition to you here? Say, be content with it. Be satisfied with this one. Be content with the things that are yours. God is yours. God is yours. 6 now says, so that we may boldly see, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man should do unto me. So the realization that God is yours births in you a confidence that will banish away covetousness. Paul said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with what you have. You have things that are yours. This path of glory is not empty. It's not a barren one. But not be obvious, just as obvious as you want it to be, but you actually have things. Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Right, open your Bibles quickly. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are your things. These are your things. 18 now says, for he that is in these things, that in these things serveth Christ, is what? Acceptable to God and approved of men. You can't go wrong focusing on your things. See, when you are bothered, when you are focused on the kingdom of God, hey, you are serving God in these things. That's where God's acceptance is. In this place, he said, once you do this, faith and love is fulfilled. Acceptable to God, approved of men. Faith, love, fulfilled when you focus on your things. So be satisfied with this. Thou shalt not covet. Be satisfied with your things. In this kingdom, on this path of glory, we have things we are told to covet. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. If you must do longer throat, let me tell you what to do longer throat on. If you must keep wishing excessively that something is yours, I wish I had this, I wish I had this. The Bible tells you what to spend that desire on. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 31. Everybody, let's read together. A more excellent way. So how did you say you should convert here? Earnestly. On this one, you are allowed to do longer truth. Better expression of the things that are yours. Better expression in love. Say convert it. Convert the things that edify the most. Try to outdo one another on this one. Fine. See chapter 14. 14:39. 14:39. Open. 14:39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Covet to prophesy. This is where your desire should be. Prophecy, of course, is to make another person better. Not to be envying what he has. You are a believer that you are still scared. If we say, okay, let us do tongues and interpretation now, I'll pass the microphone around. You are still wishing the microphone should not come to you. You are still not interested in actively giving words to one another. You are saying, oh, must we do that one for this service? Yet, you are wishing that you are the person Davido bought car for. You see your life. Just take a look at yourself. That's coveting what is not yours. If you must covet, you have things to what? Covet. There are things to pursue after. There are things to do longer throat for. Yeah. Ah! I want this thing. I want this thing. I want this thing. I want this thing. If you covet what the world has, let me write this clearly. If you covet what the world has, we're not saying that you should not live a normal life, live a good life, such as you have physically. I've explained to you what covetousness is, right? That excessive longing and desire for the things that are not yours. You are not to excessively long and desire for anything that is not on this path of glory, is what the Bible is saying. Hey, let life, as such things as you have contentment, this is in spiritual things. Oh, okay, let me not give you too many examples. Anyway, let write this down. If you covet, what covetousness? If you covet what the world has, you are admitting that what they have is better than yours. When you are found just wishing things that are in the world, you are saying that what they have is better than yours. If you are found wishing for the glamorous lifestyle of celebrities, see that shoe, the one on your leg, is it sandpaper? One day will blow. See that shoe? You see that watch that guy is wearing? Let me explain to you. That watch can buy your grandfather's house and feed your family for 3 generations. How did you know? You have so much interested yourself in what the world has, you now know everything about it. Right to how much they were selling it a month ago, to how much they are selling it now. You know, some persons that just keep keeping tabs on the car they want to buy. The most of you are not ready to buy that car in the next 5 years. Do you understand? Yet, every month, you know what that car is selling. This car, last month, at this price. Now, they don't add money to it. What are you doing to yourself, actually? Anyway. If you are still interested in a perceived liberty that people outside there have, it means you are admitting what they have is better. Yeah. See how they are free. See how they can do anything they like. See how there's nobody to come up and be shouting on them. PRO, PRO, PRO. Which I do if we enter now, sir? Who sent me? See, don't be my mate. Go this church. They all dance for 2 hours. After they finish dancing, they give their rice and transport for home. What am I doing here? If you are still found coveting those things, you are saying that one is better than what you have. That's the implication. Yeah, this person is a celebrity. It doesn't matter what he does. He can have, in fact, if he doesn't even need to ask again. Not this one that I'm asking 5 sisters in church. They've all said no. This brother. Oh, he's not the brother. This guy. All he needs to do is something like this. And then we all rush him. And I'm here. Because I'm not wearing Timberland boots. Hey. This one has 5 girlfriends in one. At the end of the day, he can choose which one he wants. He has one to wash clothes, one to cook, one to do this one. Ah, that's the life. You just sit there and say, ah, that's the life. That's the life. You now see, when you do that, you are endorsing that they don't need what you have. Do you understand? They are saying they don't need, it's you that actually need what they have. But that's not it. You have something that they need. And your expression is to make men better. And how do you make men better? Only in the gospel. So if you recognize the fact that only the gospel makes a man better, and they lack that, you can never assume that anything they have is better than yours. So focus on your things. Don't endorse what is not yours as superior. No. Covet what is yours instead. Make that what men will like. Thou shalt not covet means be satisfied with who you are in Christ. Stick with your Christology. Be satisfied with who you are in Christ. Be satisfied. Thou shalt not covet. Be satisfied with who you are in Christ. Stick with your Christology. Don't get into ministry tomorrow and say, ah, this man, after 1 year, ministry has blown. Because he's doing deliverance. Stick with your Christology. Thou shalt not covet. So, now, what does it mean thou shalt not commit adultery? Adultery. You know, covetousness starts with, or covetousness is about your desires, your excessive longing and wishing that something is yours. Now, adultery, clearly, simply, means friendship with the world. Friendship with the world is adultery. Let me explain this to you. What is adultery in the physical sense? You are married to someone, right? If you are not married to a person, will it be called adultery? No. So you are married to someone and then you leave your spouse for another person. And when we start from bone of my flesh, bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh means what? Means what? Identification, your union with God. So, and that depicts marriage, right? Are you married? Are you married right now? Jesus. Are you married? What does bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh mean? So, do you have a union with God? Yes. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. Are you not joined with the Lord? Are you married? Yes. Why is he asked for you to know? See the way she just said, I'm not married. Calm down. I'm not saying you will not marry physically. So, the Bible says you are joined with who? With the Lord. So, even Paul said, I've espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Do you understand? So, you are married to, upon believing the gospel, you have an eternal union with God. Adultery will now be leaving God for the world. Hope you know you cannot leave him like your union is a permanent one, right? So where are you leaving him in? In your mind and your actions. And he cannot divorce you. So that's the saddest part. James 4. James chapter 4, verse 1. James 4. Okay, when you open, catch up with me. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Where is it coming from? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Hope you are understanding what James is saying. You are not asking for the right reasons. You are just asking based on covetousness, based on what you see somebody or what is happening around you. The reason for you saying I can never be broke is so that you will never have to rely on a cent. You know, some persons, the reason why they want to make money is because they don't like when a cent is giving them money. Can somebody just be giving me money to eat? This life, not like God, not go shame us. I can never be broke in my life. Because you are seeing the action of a saint providing for you as disdaining. Do you understand? And that is the saint's love work that is going to receive commendation for. He's happy that he's providing you. I say, I don't want. God forbid. You can never be broke. So if you are now saying, bah, the reason why you're always confessing 100 times a day, I can never be broke in my life, it's just so that you can lose yourself from the independence of someone just because you want to have to spend. He said such kind of things don't. That's why you're not receiving what you're asking for. Your heart must be in the right place. Do you understand? Okay, don't worry, that's not where we are on. Verse 4 now says, you what was the term? Adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So James said that action of fellowshipping with the world, being friends with them. What's the definition of friendship? We have the same desire, same drive, same goal. The things that interest you interest me. Or can you ever have a friend that people don't have the same desires? Can you? Say you and this friend, this is not my G, not my best friend. Yet people are not interested in anything together. You are not, nothing, you, no common thing. Is that one friendship? Never. So friendship means that there is a common, what's that thing? Common factor. There's a shared idea. There's something that people have as a co-interest. And Paul is James is saying that such a relationship with the world is enmity against God. That makes you an adulterer. You are joined with the Lord. Leaving your spouse to join with another. Friendship with the world is adultery. First John chapter 2. First John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot combine both. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth how long? This is the last time you should be looking at me when I'm reading the Bible. Like the last time. Okay. So, he's telling you clearly that the love of the world is adultery. To love the world is adultery. Don't be friends with the things that God hates. Don't be friends with what God hates. Looseness. Immorality. The things are in the world. Pride. The excessive drive and ambition to have. God hates those things. Don't now make that your own pursuit. When you do that, what have you committed? What have you committed? Adultery. You're leaving your spouse. You're leaving your spouse. Don't forget, God has your heart. God has your heart. Meaning it comes first. It gets the great portion. And adultery also means to tolerate false teachers. tolerating of false teachers. You see a man who disdains Christology, who disdains right Bible interpretation, who disdains everything the doctrine of Christ stands for. But just because if he prophesies into your life in 3 weeks or 3 months, you are going to get married, you now abandon all your in Christ realities and go there. What have you done? You have committed adultery. When you endorse false teachers, for whatever reason, you tolerate them. Your response to false teacher according to the scripture is, I clean no apple. You that is learning the word, stay clear. Yet, you are romancing them in court. Ah, well done, sir. Well done, sir. How are you, sir? The Lord is strong upon your life, sir. I can see your ministry expanding, sir. Any word for your boy, sir? You are committing adultery. You see that in Jude 1. Jude chapter 1. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is now describing the action of men that are in rebellion. He said that till verse, he kept talking about them and describing their actions to verse 16. 17 now says, but beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there shall be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, what are you to do? Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You are not to tolerate. You are not to try and accommodate their idiosyncrasies and say the reason why they are saying these things is because you make excuses for all of them. Face your lane. Keep yourselves. Keep yourselves. Focus on your path. Otherwise, you run the risk of committing adultery. Let me ask you this question now. The physical commission of adultery is under which of the Ten Commandments? According to what we have explained. Where will it not be under? Jesus, thou shalt have no other God. Thou shalt not steal. Because that is a character that is not yours, that you are now acting. So that is where the physical adultery now falls on. But thou shalt not commit adultery. The spiritual significance and implication and intention is to tell you that, hey, don't leave your spouse, which is God, and join with someone else. So it flows from thou shalt not covet. Stop the coveting, stop the adultery. Now, thou shalt not kill. Let's just see thou shalt not kill quickly. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. To kill means to put out life from something. So what are the things the epistles tell us not to put out? What are those things? Things you should not let die. Let's see them together. First Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Are you there? First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 19. What do we have there? First Thessalonians 5:19. Open your Bibles quickly. What is there? Quench not the spirit. Quench not. Don't put out. Don't stifle. Don't put out. Don't stifle. Pastor Judah, we always say that it is rebellion for the spirit of God to be at work in a place and then you choose to be different. As rebellion. Choose not to participate. How do we know the spirit of God is at work in the place? Instruction given. What the next person beside you is doing. Of course, the next person beside you that is filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said that is rebellion for you to choose not to participate. You want to demonstrate the things of the Spirit. And yet you keep sitting beside someone who has proposed in their heart not to rejoice in service. Do you understand? Every time you say, I want to get better at rejoicing. Get better at rejoicing. But your constant seatmate is someone who before he comes to church says, no matter what they do today, I'm sober, vigilant. I'm watching out for the devil. He can't get me because I'm laughing. No pastor has told you that if you want to watch videos online, like Kenneth Hagin videos and things of the spirit videos, what should you not do? Who remembers? Don't go and read the comments. Like a YouTube video, like Kenneth Hagin rejoicing video. I know I was trying to watch that this week or last week. Trying to watch, I just said, let me go. I don't know who sent me. I honestly don't know. I had to run away. Comment. Believers, some of them, unbelievers, those ones are clear. This one is a witch doctor. This is what is. I read the first five. I said, I now remember pastor's instruction. Don't read comment. I said, Lord, who sent me? I quickly ran. Because some persons don't see it as what they should participate in. For example, What influences your choice in decision in where you will sit? Some of you, not persons that have fixed roles, for example, like Macquarie, they have places in Mosida. What influences your choice? Some persons will come into church like, please. Okay. This is not blowing well in this seat, but if I get two seats more, it's blowing. There are two seats here. Yes, it will not touch me there. Or, I don't want the camera angles. Where the camera will see me. If I hide there, no matter how much the camera is turning, they will not see me. How many of you have proposed that you are coming to church? You will ask the usher, please. I'm always easily distracted in church. I don't sleep. During church, I will be sleeping. Can I sit beside you, sister? Because I know she doesn't sleep. So that in case I'm sleeping, she will pinch me. How many of you have requested such? Sister, okay, if somebody makes such a request, will you grant it? To be granted unto you. If she doesn't grant it, let me know. Not that your reason is a nonsense reason that has no bearing to improve yourself to get the best from service. A reason that this is that I like the way she prays. Please let me just sit beside her. I don't copy notes quickly. Let me just sit beside this person. She doesn't make mistakes. I'll be able to get it. This person rejoices very well. Please let me just sit beside this person. That is quenching not the spirit. Do you understand? But when you are now, everybody's rejoicing. Only you are just. There was a sister that came to church. I've never seen such in my life. I've never. That day, I thought I'd seen everything. I thought I'd seen the height of nonchalance, but I had not. Who has a handbag? She carried the handbag. And she was like this throughout the service. As to all where we are standing and praying, the handbag was like this. We were praying. See my leg posture. As in, like this. The handbag was like this. We were praying. And that was pastor's last service here before he left. You remember how we prayed? We were praying like this. People pulled off shoes. Pastor himself took off shoes. Somebody was like this. We finished praying. We were rejoicing. She was still like this. In fact, when she stepped into church, we were having worship. She was like this. That was how she came first. You are a model for God. That is not. Thank you. Don't you know we have our own models, right? We have role models in the Bible. Copy and paste. That is not a model in the church. You can't do that. in the entire service. Ah. That is what you have killed. That person will now say, I don't kill. Kill. You cannot even watch a movie that they are killing somebody. You're like, oh no, it's gory. I don't like such. Yet you are killing every day. You are killing now. What are you doing? You are killing the flow of the spirit. Personally and in church. Because you are sitting in a place, everybody around you cannot rejoice. You have given another person an excuse for rebellion. Because somebody wanted to rejoice before. He now sees that somebody is not rejoicing. I say, hey, no, believe me. I took her. We are not alone. I see us. We are the ones that know what's happening. Not in this church. Amen? Not in this church. Don't quench the spirit. Don't kill. Thou shalt not kill. Everybody is doing this whether you feel like or you don't feel like. In season and what? No matter how your brain is touching. We are told, hey, everybody pray. Pray well. You are still doing. Shut. 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 Good. You are now seeing the persons who are actively doing it as weird. Say you see something is wrong. You know something is wrong, right? The time you start seeing someone who is obeying instruction as weird, just know that you are already getting, you are in sin already. You retrace your step quickly. You are already getting mad. Quench not the spirit. Pray without ceasing. You will see it in verse 19, 17 of that 1 Thessalonians 5. Things we are to do without stopping. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love what? Continue. Don't kill it. Don't end it. Don't frustrate other people's love work. Someone is checking up on you, doing his own love work. You are frustrating it. What are you doing? You are making brotherly love not what? Continue. You are killing it. You are killing it. Because by the time you refuse to accept that demonstration of love, you can't give it to somebody else. You can't. So you are ending the cycle of love. The reason why someone is always coming to say, right where, right where, right where. Stop right here. I want to show you something. Right where, right where. This is your notes. How many pages have you taken? The reason why somebody is doing that for you today is so that in 3 months' time, you can do it for him. Brother Michael is doing it. Was he always doing it? No. Pastor says, he keeps telling you that. This is not defined as empty. You will lead. You will eventually lead. But by the time you are throwing back, frustrating all the efforts to make you better, you are saying you don't want to be responsible for any other person's betterment. So, what are the things you should not kill? That should not kill means what? Quench not the spirit. Pray without ceasing. Let love continue. The things the epistle tells you not to put out. It says, fan to flame the gift of God. Don't put it out. Don't put it out. You finish the service. You received words that really, really affected you. After service. Hey! A big mommy, oh! I beg. You get Gary. From there. So, are you there? Make I call your house. From there. You are at the end of the day. You can't even. We come to church now. I've been asking you. How many of you have gone over? If you have not gone. What have you done? You have what? You have killed. So be knowing what the things mean. Don't think that, you know, say, that is what the rich man, the rich young girl, that was his problem. He thought everything was just physical. He said, I've not killed. I've not lied. I've not done this. I've been, all this I've done from my youth. When he's actually contravening everything. So understand the implication. So the believer is not carried away with the physical. No. Since the spiritual is our major concern, we ensure that on that one, we are on point. As pastors knew word, we are always lit. What that means? We are lit. Concern it, we don't put it out. Do you understand? Okay. And please, don't lose sight of the fact that it is actually your will that is at play here. I think that's what many persons still have not realized. All these things we have mentioned, love, quench not the spirit, It is your will that is at work here. It is your will. Whether you will do it or not is your choice. If you will not do it, is your choice. If it does not lie in your hand, the instruction will not be quenched, not the spirit. If it was not possible to quench it, there will be no instruction as to that. Is there any instruction in the Bible that don't make the Holy Ghost leave you? Do you have such an instruction in the Bible? Say, hey, believer, take heed that the Holy Ghost do not leave you and depart from you for your often rebellion. Is there any scripture like that? No. Because no matter what you do, the Holy Ghost cannot leave you. Say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We read that in Hebrews 13:5. So, when you are now told, quench not, it's because you can quench it. You can. It's your will. You can quench it. You can find it. When you say, why are you not rejoicing? And you say, ah, I was not moved. Hey! Hey, hey, hey. You are waiting for the stirring of the water. Well done. The believer beside you rejoicing is your moving. You understand? In fact, leave the believer beside you. The instruction to rejoice is your what? Is your moving. If the person holds it, that is the move of the spirit at that point in time. He says, everybody rejoice. And you don't rejoice. You have been moved though. You are the one that has refused to move. You know, when we were in the former venue, at least that has changed now. I'm looking out for if I see anybody becoming a citadel of rebellion, you shall see me in your dream. Before then, there was always a corner. Stajoba, can you remember? There's a corner there in church, in the former venue, that they don't rejoice. One particular area will always be rejoicing. One area where the priest of the power of the air was will not rejoice. There are big boys and big girls there. And you that have sense, that want to rejoice, you now go and carry your chair and go and sit where? There, so you see that you are nowhere. Ah, but at least we have broken that jeans. Glory to God. Glory to God. There is no exception to the power of God here. Every angle, everywhere, we don't have any rebellious person in any corner. We rejoice at will. So don't come and form any umbrella that rebellious persons can come and hide under. Say, because you are not rejoicing. Somebody is not using an excuse. If I catch you, you are stifling our unity, our oneness. No, don't be that. So, what have we seen? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's just see honor your parents. I think that should be the last one. And then we can now start getting ready to close. Honor your father and your mother. Of course, we have seen several times that this spiritual implication is talking about spiritual relationships. Spiritual relationships. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves for the watch over your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So this is talking about spiritual relationships primarily. You see in 1 Timothy 5:3, how to ordain a bishop, deacons, elders. These are those who have oversight. You will see it in Acts 20:28. Over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. Talking to the elders. So there are persons who have oversight over you. In fact, here we already call them father and mothers. Other centers can call it bishops. I think that's what Kaduna calls it. Whatever the name, it's simply saying someone who has direct responsibility for your actions. So what are you to do, men and brethren? What are you to do? Honor. And what does honor mean? Obey. That was how we ended on Sunday. Discipleship is followership. Just do. Say, I want to be fervent in spirit. I want to be a mighty move of God in our generation. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be a mighty tool in the hands of God. All your dreams and aspirations, where does it start and end with? Just hear and do. Just do. You are told pray 3 hours, let your brain. You will just see yourself that you are better eventually. Honor your father and your mother. Like I said, you will know that there is a message on your family group. You will deliberately not open your family group for 2 days. You have viewed all the people's WhatsApp status that posted status. You have viewed everything. In fact, you have viewed your father's own status. You see, how some people can be very funny. You have viewed your family member's status update. Yet, you have not gone on the group to check what you were told to do. Because you know that somehow you just read through your chat. Okay, this one. You just do selective participation. When you not come in the evening, why did you not bring your church note? Oh, I was not aware we are supposed to bring it. Something is wrong with you. See, we must be saying no. We must be saying. And you will not say, hey, I honor. Honor we are. I honor the man God has placed over me. We're done. That's not honoring. That's not honoring. It's not honoring. It's not. But I trust that we don't have such here. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We are obedient people. You know, Paul said, I am persuaded of better things concerning, even though I'm speaking like this. I'm speaking for those who will hear the message, you know, later. But for you, you are. Amen. Amen. So ensure there is no such person here. You have been bought. You have been redeemed. You have been washed. So your attitude must mirror that. Honor. Obey. Doesn't mean that you should not honor your physical parents, though. Like some person's parents probably think that maybe the way you are relating to them or the way you are trying to carry out instructions here, it will not look as if we are teaching you dishonor in church. You know it's possible. You know it's possible. That parents, even some person's parents here, we think that our church is all about dishonor. You can choose to, the only thing we are telling you is that there's a priority. But in carrying, you know what I mean, that everything about you to your parents will not be disdain. The pastor said, it is your responsibility to ensure that the light you are getting, your family also receives it. It's going to save you a lot of strength, a lot of stress. It will. The example he always gives, you know, since you were born, as you were growing up, your mother has been saying, you must marry from our tribe. You cannot marry somebody that is not evil. You must marry an evil person. That is the person we must know his village. In fact, among Igbos, you know that there are people that are our own people. You must not marry from Mbeise. Oh, Newi. You must not marry from that side, though. It must be from this, our Anambra, gong. I must know his father and his mother's house. We must be Aka women together in church. Your mother has been saying that since you were growing up. You did not say anything. You're quiet. You receive the light of the gospel. Understand that there's neither male, nor female, nor Greek, nor Scythian, nor whatever in Christ. All that is the new creation. You did not teach your mother that. You were not saying it. Mommy, see you, but this is not what the Bible says. Mommy, what's the basis for that? You did not say 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You now came to church, Edifying Assembly, after you have learned everything. The apostle of our generation, Brother Ojude, proposed to you, and you agreed. You now went. You now can meet your mother. Mommy, I found not even meet on phone. Mommy, I've agreed to marry somebody. Hey, praise the Lord. Ah, the Lord has done it for us. So what is his name? Oh, to allow Lord to be like, hey. What is that? Shock entered your mother. What's that? Come home. I'm not coming. People should take it like that. See, I don't have to marry there. See, my pastor will join me. Hope you know pastor will not join you. Hope you know. If you don't know, let me tell you now. Preacher's portfolio, he will not join you. It's not part of his business to be disregarding your parents. So don't think that you can hide under the grace of God. We will return you back to your parents. You will go and be gracious there. So, don't think she is dishonor your parents. Why? Because even physically, there is no dishonor in you to give. There is no. So be paving. The only thing is that ensure that, the excuse of parents is not now what you now use. Not to do what you should do. Simple. Well, you cannot say, when you now come and ask father, what do you now want me to do? Is he in your house with you? You know best how best to approach your parents. Pray, receive wisdom. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we have looked at honor your father and your mother. You know, this is primarily talking about spiritual relationships, but know that even in the physical, you are never to dishonor or disdain. Hallelujah. All right, so let's begin to round up. As we have seen, the B part of the Ten Commandments are doctrinal. It's the B part we analyze today. They are doctrinal. The conducts here were primarily used to describe doctrine. What is doctrine? The explanation of what Christ has done. The explanation of Christ, who he is to the believer, what he has done, that's doctrine. So, these conducts were primarily used to describe doctrine. When Jesus was saying, thou shalt not kill this one, God did not become a man and he was telling men that they should not steal. No. Men already knew that from their conscience. Before you became born again, did you know that stealing was bad? Did you not know that? So that cannot be the reason why God is not giving you an instruction and telling you the same thing. There has to be more than that. So this is communicating doctrine. Doctrine. Based on the word and the teaching of Christ. Conduct and not stand alone. So because it is based on doctrine, you don't have a choice or you don't have the luxury to love men outside doctrine. You cannot. The B parts are doctrinal. So your love for men must always be based on doctrine. Let me show you two examples and then we'll close. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Open your Bibles. We have to see this together. Because the B part is based on doctrine, you don't have the luxury to love men outside doctrine. That's what I said. Love for men must always be doctrinal. Let's see 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Are we there? Okay. From verse 1. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, whom you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Of course, you know, rude there, what he was trying to explain was the audacity with which he was speaking. You know that rude in terms of your being insolent. Verse 7, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Hope you know rob there does not mean you went to steal from them. Because you must, I'm trying not to assume you understand. He's simply saying that he received from other churches and not them. Lord, let's explain. See verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was... Hope you see that Paul is saying he wanted, right? I should never be broke in my life. Amen? And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. What is Paul saying? Imagine if, as we send Pastor Buki from here, go to Lafia. She goes to Lafia. She's still preaching the gospel to them and expecting them to accept. She's not trying to collect money from them as well. Do you understand? So she refused to collect money from them, even though she was in need. So what now happened was, we that are brethren from here, as Brother Joshua was going to visit, we gathered money, gathered yam. Hope you know that's what you should be doing. Gathered something and say, ah, please, Brother Buki, help me give this to her where she is. So what he now received and took was from the was gifts from brethren that they have already been together. That was what he was saying. 10. And as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in any regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God know it. What is he saying? He said, my refusal to charge you, was it because I did not love you? That's the question he was putting to them. Because it was not as if his refusal to collect from them did not give him the rank of an apostle. Like, what makes people an apostle then was the fact that when they come with their robes, say, ah,
amen. Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
How are you? How's everybody doing today? The anointing of God has come alive today strong. I can feel the anointing all over me. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? If you want to take, this side take, this side take. The reason why you're not taking is because you have not connected. Now come connect to me and you'll be able to get it. That was what was prevalent. So he was saying that. Is it because these people are not trying to make it look like they love you? That is why they are doing that. But me, my refusal to collect doesn't mean I don't love you. God is the one that will judge. So Paul is saying that others came and presented their exploitation in the form of love and care for them. In the form of love and care. Because you will see there when he was now explaining the fact that people transform, the messengers of the devil has transformed as ministers of light. So they were hiding their exploitation under the guise of, don't worry. He now says in verse 20, for you suffer. If a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. So Paul is telling them that this thing that is happening is actually you suffering. It's not love. They were blind to see this, and they were endorsing it as a sign of a true apostle. Somebody was doing all this to them, and they were endorsing it. Yes, this is an apostle. This is what it should be. Same thing that happens today, some folks, carnal minds. Until some people will come here and they'll say, where is the pastor? You just enter, and then you're expected to see the pastor by just looking. Where's the pastor? Where's the pastor? The pastor is in front of you preaching with his sandals. So you say maybe he's the one leading prayer. Where's the pastor? I don't know where the pastor is. You disdain simplicity. Until the person is, maybe people that came for cardinal meeting for the first time that have not met pastor, don't know him, might not have known that he was the one until it was time to preach. Because immediately he came, where did he go and tabernacle? With their technical stand, carrying wire, do it like this, do this, do this. That's what he was doing, setting up. So if somebody comes in and sits down, I must be able to identify the pastor. Let me see. He's the pastor. You know, some people do that thing, right? I remember somebody came to church one day. That was when we were on the other side. And he said he wanted to know that he would be able to know who the pastor's wife is without being introduced. And then when they told me that it was me, he said, you actually thought it was Sister Peace. They thought that I thought that was the pastor. I don't know the basis for which he was judging. But many persons just disdain things they see in the physical. Until the person is like this, say, hey! Until the person tells you that if you don't give to me, it means that you are not respecting the anointing I carry. Let me not go there, please. Okay. Anyway. So of course you're not carnal. You cannot see until a person does all that. You will not see him as a man of God. That is why some men of God actually now go to that extreme. They will say, if you don't tell them now, they will disdain you. They will think that you are not called. Ah, please, stick with him. Please. Oh, okay, let's continue reading. 2 Corinthians 12 now. Let's go to the next chapter. 12, 11. I am become a fool in glory. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. So Paul is now telling them that, see, oh, I'm actually not behind any of these apostles that you are calling. How? Verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not bothersome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now, when Paul says, forgive me this wrong, what does it look like? It's looking like, don't worry, so I will, if I come next time, I will not really be bothersome to you so that you will know that I love you. Right? I'm an apostle. Let's continue reading. 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. And I will not what? Be bothersome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less what? I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. We do all things, dearly beloved. For what? For your edifying. So Paul is saying, my love for you is based on doctrine. I cannot, because of your lack of appreciation of it, now change it. Love for men is doctrinal. It's doctrinal. He acknowledged that my refusal to exploit you is making you see me as weak and incapable. No problem. But I will continue in that. Because it is before God. He said he has done what he should. What should an apostle do? I have done everything I should do. If that is not enough for you, no problem. I will continue. It's fine by him. So he will not, in an effort to prove to their own standard, prove himself as an apostle to their own standard, now love them outside doctrine. Love for men is doctrinal. It's always for their edifying. Please note that. Love is doctrinal. It's always to make men better. Love for men is to make men better in Christ. Yeah. Because every time I go and discuss with this disciple, he's running, because he knows I want to come and preach. Okay, next time I'm going, I will buy tantalizers, Mr. Biggs. I will stop preaching, so I will stop running. I will just be giving him food. You can buy him food though, if that will get him to sit down. But like Pastor said, the church we don't do anything free for outside, for those that are outside. You are not a believer. We'll not be dashing you money. Yeah, it's to an intent. If we buy you computer in your school, be ready to download everything on Living Word Media. Be ready to listen. Be ready to write an exam on it. It's never free. It is to an intent. That intention overrides. So, say you have father and mother. I want all of you. Your father and mother is not to be giving you money. Every day, father, I'm hungry. Money. Every single... Take dressing. They themselves need to be ministered to. Love is where? Love for men is where? In doctrine. In doctrine of Christ. If you like, let it make you think that these people don't love you. What did Paul say? No wahala. I will keep giving you the word that you need. I will keep ensuring you wake up and pray. Don't worry. Don't love me. Some of you now marry a man that is every time, have you prayed today? Have you prayed today? I say, yeah. Have you asked me whether I slept well? You're asking me if I've prayed this morning. What kind of thing is that? You are just trying to hide the fact that you have not prayed on that. If you have prayed, what would you have said? Yes. Then what would that be the next question? Hope you rested well. Yeah, that's it. This is why they are saying, telling you no. Anyway. So don't allow men redefine love to suit them. No. It is doctrinal. It is doctrinal. We, of course, you cannot be here and know that we don't care. We care, but it has its place. It has its place. And don't judge the care for you based on the physical. No. Always secondary. Always. Always. Romans 14. We second to the last scripture and then we can close. Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Verse 7. Romans 7, 14. I've been reading for you too much, so we are going to read this together. We are reading 7 to 18. Are you there? Romans 14, 7 to 18. Okay, I'll start. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Next verse. We are the Lord's. Do you understand that? At every point in time, see, we are the Lord's. Life is for him. Death is for him. Anything is for him. Our love for you is for him. Everything we do is for the Lord's. It's not based on what we decide, what we like, or what we want. It is for Christ. Verse 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living, both of the dead and the living. He's telling you that the basis, reason why Jesus died and resurrected, he gave you life. So that life he gave you, he's in charge of it. He's in charge of it. And he died, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but for him that died and rose again. So Christ's death for you and his life was to give you a life that will actually be his, that he has given you. And is your life your own? No. The life is his. So how you live it, he now has a choice to decide how to judge you on it. Do you understand that? If it was not his life, he will not have the basis for that in the first place. He will not have a basis to judge you. But he gave you the life so he can decide how it should be spent. All right, are you ready? Next verse, verse 10. Want to? Okay, I write him. Hurry. Okay, verse 10. You should have finished writing by now. Let's go. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. 12. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? The reason why you don't have a choice on how you will love men is because you are going to give account to God. The life you are spending is his own. How you spend it, he decides it. If you did it well, it is his own decision to make. And he said, as I live, saith the Lord. Once it is written, say, as I live, can God die? Can God die? The person who cannot die is telling you, as I live, every knee must bow. Everybody will give account. You should know that there are no exceptions. It is sure. 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or any occasion to fall in his brother's way. I'm going to explain that later. Verse 14. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Of course, there was a series we handled, destroy there. Destroy there is condemnation. When you condemn, give somebody to condemnation. Verse 16, go. Spoken of. 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 18. And approved of men. Finally, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. But see 18. He says, if you serve in these things, you have fulfilled faith and love. So what was Paul saying? That the physicals don't matter. The physicals don't actually matter. What a person eats, drinks, physical preference is not enough to separate us. Know that first. He says what matter, the priority, is to ensure everyone is strong in faith. That's doctrina. The physicals don't really matter. What matters is that we are all strong in faith. So, the source of your preference should not be that you are weak in faith. If you are saying, I don't like this, I don't like this. Why? Is it because of faith that you are weak in? It tells you in verse 1 that the brother that is weak in faith accepts, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't start arguing with him. What are we to do? Edify. If you edify and build up the person and strengthen up the person, will he become strong in faith? Will his preference be established by the doctrine of Christ? Yes. But your priority and your focus is not to be attacking his physical preference. Your priority and your focus is to ensure he's strong in faith. That's what matters. Let him be strong in faith. His preference will align. So he says such a person receive by edification, not a mockery of his preference. That's what Paul was saying there. Then he now tells you that God's judgment is on your expression of faith by love. There is judgment for it. Your expression of faith by love. The fact that you love men doctrinally, there's a judgment for it. We must strengthen one another in our own things. Why is love for men doctrinal? Why is the conduct part doctrinal? Because it is based on 1-4, faith in Christ. That is why it is doctrinal. That's why it cannot be anything. I told you on Sunday that love is never a standalone. The strength for love is found in faith in Christ. So we have 5-10 because of 1-4. That is why 5-10 must be doctrinal. Did you get all I've said? Yes, I'm just repeating the same thing. Faith in Christ defines love for us. It defines it. It gives you the boundary. So this is what Jesus wants everyone to understand. That was why he told that man, hey, follow me. Come and understand the implication of what you have been doing physically. Come and receive understanding. Come and know the intention of things. Why? Because it's not about the physical expression alone. I keep telling you, don't feel sanctimonious. I don't kill. But every time you are stifling the flow of the Holy Ghost, you are rejecting brotherly love, and you are saying you don't kill, you have killed. I don't covet my neighbor's property. I don't steal. But you are doing just that. Spiritually. So it's not about the physical expression alone. It is your understanding of the intention. To know that the physical emanates from a spiritual intention. To know that spiritual intention. Know it. Stick with it. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. 17 to 18. Are we there? But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There is a glory in the Lord. Is a part of glory. There's a glory in the Lord. If you must have any glory at all, let it be the one the Lord gives. If you must have any glory, any commendation, any praise, let it be the one the Lord gives. 18 now says, for not he that commended himself is approved, but whom the Lord commended. You cannot just sit down and tell yourself, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. That's what the rich young ruler's problem was. I'm doing all I should. I can't keep myself. God knows I'm trying. You are not the one to commend yourself. It is the Lord that will commend you. Lord, your glory is in him. So Jesus already said that this is the first and great commandment. This is excellent. But in the second part, there is also an excellency to get. Faith in God is already excellent. It's already great. It's already great on its own. Hey, but in your love for men, there is also an excellency to pursuing it. That's what we have been called to do on this path of glory. You can be excellent in the expression of your faith. You can be excellent. You can receive God's commendation. You can receive glory on this path. It's a path of glory to glory. And that when we get to part 10, we just focus on my part. What are you to do? But it's possible to have excellency in excellence. It's possible. It's possible. Some of you watch Champions League, Premier League, and when they are giving them the cup, you see fans crying. Fans, you see the players like, oh, we made it. This is it. You see the joy, satisfaction. Fulfillment. You will see those who have lost. What are they doing? Crying. We missed out. We missed out. All for man's trophy. There's a glory in God that you can miss out on. And you know the unfortunate thing? You know, people who lost Champions League this year, do they have an opportunity to win it next year? Those who have never won Premier League in their life, do they have a opportunity to win it? They should just keep playing. But the believer who misses out on this part of glory after he's dead, does he have an opportunity to regain it? Is there a second chance? Say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't do it well. I'm coming. Give me one more chance to prove myself to you. Hello, God. Can you hear me? Are you listening anymore? All those ones are here on earth too. All your second chances, third chances. That's what teachings do for you. To give you a chance. Say, hey, you can pick yourself up. How we sang, pick yourself up and run with this call. Not cause. With this call. Run with this course. They are running with the call. No distractions. It's never too late to get back on track. Even if your head has been doing squirrel, so long as you have life, you are still physically alive, it's never what? Never too late. But there's a time when it's become too late. For every one of us, there will be a time when it comes to it. A time when your WhatsApp and social media will no longer matter. When your Instagram trending, you can't trend there again. Yeah, as you post something, you are watching, let it get to 1,000 likes. There, all your fans, what will happen? The fans you are trying to please, doing content production, whatever, they're trying to be a content skinny. You are now trying to, so that as you write this thing, say, Akbar, I go take calm, just take. At that point in time, you, the fan, you that they are fans in, the fan, okay, the star, people don't know English, the star, you that is a star, what will happen to you? You will stand. See, you read where we said that, we shall all what? Give account. So you as the star, what are you doing? You are standing to give your own what account. Your fans, what are they doing? They are standing. At that point, you need to be hailing each other. Say, that's your post you did that day. That picture you posted. See, that picture. Well, that won't be happening there. But you spent 1 year creating a thing that, as you put it like this, everybody will hear you. What is that you want to win again? Grammy. Brethren, there is a loss in this part that eternally you cannot change. Eternally you will not be able to erase. Eternally. Eternally. Sometimes when I hear that, I say, as you rejoice about your eternal life, you say, yeah! See, you know your state as a believer can never change, right? You are justified how long? Forever. So also, your rating on this path of glory is how long? Is how long? Now you don't want it again. You don't like forever again. Forever was sweet when it was salvation. Now that is now your rating on this path is no longer sweet. It's eternal. It's eternal. It's eternal. My better days are now. My best days are ahead. I can never be supposed. Peter, we read on Sunday. Peter said, always increasing. You should always be increasing. Paul said the same thing. 1 Corinthians 15, always abounding. Increasing the work of God. Knowing fully well that, hey, the reason why you can sit back and say, I'm satisfied. What does it mean? It means you are saying that what you have done was your best. You get? The reason why you can say, okay, I've tried. How my life have been going to church. I've tried. At least I've given God his due. The reason why you can draw back, relax, is because you have said and you have concluded that what you have done is your best and is enough to give you the glory you need on this path. But the path of the believer is not so. No matter what you have done, good or bad, as long as you have life, you keep putting one foot in front of the other. Now there is something better for you to get today. There is a best that you should achieve. So you keep going to that best that is ahead of you. Looking for every opportunity to ensure you are adding up to the weight of your labor. Just in case what I've done is not enough, let me keep adding more. Add more. Until your last breath. Until your last breath. How much is enough? We don't know. So you keep doing more. You're only told self in the gospel of the Son. Love men based on doctrine. How much is enough? I don't know. Just serve all the days of your life and don't stop serving. Is what we are told to do. Keep abounding. Keep increasing. God judges what is enough, not you. So you don't have the luxury to say, what I have done is enough. Your own disposition is to be, I am an unfaithful servant. I have only done as I was asked. I cannot sit down and rest. There is much to be done. That's your own disposition. Even if you are told rest, relax, Men are pouring you econiums. Tell you that the best time to be careful is when everybody is praising you. Don't run. Say, I've done this one, they are praising me. I don't know what I've done. No. I've not done anything. Why? Because let's hear that glory. Glory where? In the Lord. Not you that commended yourself, but for God that commends you. This is the path of glory. Brethren, we are after an excellency in God. The goal is excellency. We are already on a path of excellence. It cannot be less. The goal is excellency. The goal is the cup. The goal is victory. That's what we are after. It won't be less. It won't be less. It won't be less. Just pray for yourself. That you will just keep forging ahead. In good times, you run. In bad times, you will keep forging. One step. You just keep putting one step. Just keep putting one step. It's what I try to do. When I don't feel like, just put one step. Just put one step. Just put one step. When the zeal is much, run like there's no tomorrow. But there should never be a time that you are not making progress. Never. Ah, never. 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 I'm a believer. I don't have better yesterdays. I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't. I'm not in the camp of men recounting their past victories. Hey! Say, there was a time when I used to pray a lot. Oh! That's not me. That's not me. That's not me. That's not me. My testimony concerning myself today must be better than yesterday. And I keep seeing ways to get better. That is how I know that the best is ahead. That's how I know the best is ahead. That's how I know the best is ahead. You say, ah, I have a goal that I will be able to preach to everyone, no matter what is inside their head, they will understand. That I teach God's word with simplicity and accuracy. That every man I teach the word can understand. I will not be teaching and the person will say it's flying away from my head. No! I have a goal that I will be able to raise steadfast disciples. I will not keep looking for disciples that I can't find. This year, same story. Next year, same story. Next year, no! No, no, no. There is excellency on this part. There's excellency on this part for me. There's excellency on this part for me. I should not be the one struggling with prayer today. And in 6 months' time, that's still my testimony. Why? 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 I will not be the one. In a believer's gathering, I couldn't rejoice last year. This year, the same thing. Ah. Yeah. You might have given yourself excuses. I'm coming from a background where these things are not there, not there, not there. 1 year, you are still saying the same thing. That's not you. There is excellency on this path. 2 years, you are still saying, ah, it's because of the way I was raised. My mentality. 3 years, 4 years, same excuse. Ah. Sister. There's excellency on this part too. At least be sincere with yourself. Than this one I'm not doing well. And stop excusing your laxity. Hey, what can I not do? What can I not do? I'm shy. If we all stuck with our shyness, I will not be here holding this microphone. Every day I remind myself it's not about you. If I had my way, most likely, I don't know. I will never hold the microphone. Yeah, I'm shy. I don't like people looking at me. I have this one, I have that one. Year one, your excuse. Year two, year three, year four. Bedroom. Abba. Abba. There's an excellency in God to get. There's an excellency on this path to get. There's an excellency on this path. Recognize the fact that there's excellency on this path to get. Hey, let it dawn on you that, see, oh, I'm already, this part is, Jesus said, is the great. But the second part is like unto it. It can also be excellent. My expression of faith by love can be excellent. I can do it excellently and get a commendation of God. I can. Men are doing everything they can to win one league, to have one thing. And when they receive the silver, you will see some of them, as they put the silver on their head, they take it off. It's not what they're interested in. This is not worth it. Ah, you cannot be satisfied with anything less than excellence on this part. See, I know what I'm gunning for. Nothing less will satisfy. I know what I'm after. Eternal excellency. I know what I'm after. I know what I'm after. Since this meeting in Kaduna till now, there's something that's been banging on my head. Joy, what are you after? What are you actually after? Excellency on this part is possible. It's possible. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we have been told that the criteria is doctrine. Love men based on doctrine. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Hey, I beg you. Even if times are bad, just forge ahead. Just keep putting one step in front of the other. Just keep putting one step. One step. You are making your way steadily. 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 But it's sure. It might be slow, it might be steady. But it's sure. You will not be judged for saying in bad times you could not run. No, don't worry. But just ensure you are doing something. I'm in school. I'm in this one. I'm in that one. Year one, year two, 3 years, 5 years, you're still giving the same excuse. Are you sure you understand that there is excellency on this part? Are you sure? Are you sure? This part of glory. This part of glory. This part of glory. Is a part where your excuses are senseless. Hey God. We have already told you that God's wisdom is different from man's wisdom. Your excuses that make sense in the physical are senseless before God. If you say, I was not educated, I could not express myself, you will be shown men who did much more in their ignorance. You will not be asked, oh yeah, now give your excuse. And your mouth will be closed. If you say, what do you want to think about? Just tell me. I'm already out of excuses. There was no time. Okay. You will see men who had less opportunities and they did much more. What is your excuse? Hey, pick yourself up. Pick yourself up. There is ministry to be done. There's ministry to be done. We have a master to give account to. We don't just rejoice in the fact that Jesus saved us. Yes, you did. He's also our master. He gave us a work to do. And he's also your judge. He will rate that your work. That's who Jesus is to you. You're not a carnal believer that celebrates his saving power alone. No. Celebrate his duty as your master. Celebrate his duty as your judge. And say, in all things, I will not be lacking. In all things, I will not be lacking. That's a believer. That's a believer. Always bearing something in mind that you are going after. My better days are now. My best days are ahead. Hey, because of that, no breaks, no stops. I keep forging ahead. There is a best in God for me to get. There is a best in God for me to get. There is a best in God for me to get. There is a best in God for me to get. There is a best in God for me to get. There's a best in God. There's a best in God. There's a best in God. And what we receive can never be taken away from us. Never. every physical trophy will be taken away by another one day. You built the best company, someone else will come in years' time and build a better one. You had a record of the best whatever. Somebody else will come in years to come and they will beat the record. But what is yours in this part of glory, eternally is yours, whether good or bad. Eternally is yours, good or bad. Eternally, that's your own, good or bad. 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 And it's so beautiful that it's not a competition with one another. As each man has been given grace, run. God is the one who knows what you are capable of. It's God that determines what you are capable of. And he judges you according to that capability. See, God will judge you according to your capability. Know that. It's not based on, this is what I'm doing. According to what you are capable of doing, is how your judgment will be. Were you capable of getting 500 men discipled to be consistent? That is what you'll be rated based on. It's what you'll be rated based on. So if you did 100 and you are patting yourself on the back, you have a master to give account to. It's not you rating yourself, it's God. It's God rating you. 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 According to what you are capable of. According to God's own expectation of you. According to God's own expectation. According to God's own expectation. So stop the excuses, dear brethren. Stop it. Stop it. Stop the excuses. Stop the excuses, because I promise you, it will not make sense before God. So don't let it make sense to you now. Don't let it make sense to you. Don't let it make sense to you. My better days are now. My best days are ahead. So no breaks and no stops, I keep forging ahead. My better days are now. My best days are ahead. So no breaks and no stops, I keep forging ahead. My better days are now. My best days are ahead of me. So no breaks and no stops. I keep forging ahead. My better days are now. My best days are ahead of me. Hey! My best days are ahead. He's ahead. So no, he's ahead of me. No, he's ahead of me. He's ahead of me. He's ahead of me. Ah, he's ahead of me. He's ahead of me. My best days are ahead of me. This cannot be the best for me. No. 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 Pray on that for 1 minute. Just pray on that as we close for 1 minute. This cannot be the best of you. See, this cannot be. This cannot be. This cannot be the best of you. Hey, this cannot be the best of you. When you recognize that this cannot be your best state, you will not be dilly-dallying. That's why there cannot be breaks or stops. This cannot be the best for you. No. If you were to be rated right now, is it excellent? It's it. It's the excellence. It's why it cannot be the best. No. It's why I have to keep going. I just have to keep going. There has to be something better than this, than what I have done. This cannot be enough for me. No. This cannot be the best there is to me. No. As much as I have life, I must keep improving in my love walk. I must keep improving in my expression of faith. Because this cannot be the best. I don't want to be rated with this. No, no, no. I have not done enough. There is nothing you have done that is worth you strolling on this path. There's nothing you have done that is worth you strolling. You are still being cajoled to come for service when there is a best for you. Ah. Hey. Ah. 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 There is an excellency in God to get. There is an excellency in God to get. Hey, shadow badata te. Rakuska bala tita badarabata. Hey, se bosa tiko gobose. Hey, la barate kata. Hey, gasubote kata da 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 via. Retikuska bala da da da. Vase teke te libara da da. There is an excellency in God to get. Hey, shabala katu veramasa. I can't afford breaks. I can't afford stops. Hey, shada da baratika vola wasi. Vimare da baya kata ba. I can't afford bricks. I can't. There is an excellency in God. I can't lose out on this path. No. I can't lose out. I can't lose out. I can't lose out. I can't lose out. Hey, shut up, Baratik over the Balakantatis. Break it. Ah, shaka da 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 da